of kings, who was born of a virgin and above all things. Yes, he was, and he wasn't, and he is, and he's yet to come. And how he went to the desert and was tempted thrice by the serpent who was Satan and the father of lies. How he did all the things that he did, 'cause he was Yahweh's own son. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So they hung him from a tree till he was crucified. Then they carried him and buried him in a tomb 3 days and three nights long. And with a bang and a clang and a great big boom, the angel removed the stone from the tomb. And when they all went looking inside, well, Jesus, he was gone. And now you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now as the Spirit moved and the church caught fire and the gospel spread through the Roman Empire, that old devil's old world order was turned upside down. It seemed the more that he martyred and he crucified, the more the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ was multiplied, until the gospel of the saving grace of Christ was finally spread the world around. All because there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now the Muslims say it's down to Allah you bow. The Hindus pray they'll come back as a cow. The Orientals say only Buddha's the way. But what are they gonna say on Resurrection Day? Now the world's got leaders that are trying to lead, but the truth of the matter is they're all deceived, 'cause they've all got secrets in their past they're trying to hide. So when Satan steps up to make his deals, he threatens to tell all the other big wheels. So they all conspire together to save their own hides. But you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus'
closet. Good evening, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you. Oh, it's been a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch today, Thursday, March 28th. Busy times, exciting times, folks. Hope you're as excited about them as I am. It is exciting to be living in these days. Well, we're going to start out with a word of prayer and have some current events to talk to you about tonight that are jumping off the Bible pages to me. I hope they are to you as well. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, God our Father, the Creator of all things. Thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that you give us to live in. This time and opportunity, Lord, to see the world events and to share in them. And Lord, the time for our faith to grow in you. For the time to increase our faith in you, Lord, and our trust in you. And as it says, and we'll read later tonight, Lord, the opportunity to draw nearer to you to draw nearer to your throne of grace with confidence, knowing that you are in control. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the price you paid to allow us to be here, to come back into relationship with God, to draw nearer to God. And that is better for all of us, at least for those of us that believe that are yours. For those that don't, for those that are not, for those, Lord, that hate you, well, they have theirs. But thank you. Be with me tonight at the Radio Ranch, Mike. Let it go well, Lord. Let me encourage the remnant, Lord. And let this be a blessing to you. I thank you for this time that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Well, remnant, it is interesting times. I want to make a note here. Something came to mind. I want to bring it up later. I don't want to forget it. But it is. Here it is, almost the end of March and barely into spring. We've had beautiful weather. It's been cold and snowy. There's still snow on the ground here. We got a good snow this past week. But spring is in the air, starting to see some green grass, and that is a good thing. It is. Lots going on, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that bridge collapse up there in Baltimore. There's a good bit going on with that. We'll get into it. But do want to remind you, the times that we're in, yes, it's perilous times, but this time of the year, springtime, it's a new solar year. And that has always had it's always been an important time throughout the Bible. Not many people put actual dates and times of the year in the scriptures. We know that things happened at the time of Passover. That's mentioned several times, and that time is coming up, the best we can determine, starting the spring equinox, starting the new year, 14 days later, being April 2nd. We call that the 14th day of Abib, Passover, April 2nd. And we'll observe that in the evening, in the twilight of April 2nd. We hope that we should have a broadcast from the LaPorte Church of Christ. We hope you can join us there. If you can't, I know we've sent a lot of the communion books out that ties into to Passover, and the Solar Sanity versus Lunar Lunacy book as well. I've sent quite a few of those out this last month or two. But it's drawing near. It's drawing near. It's not a Sabbath day, but it's a day that we've been told to remember, to teach our children about, to remember that day that the death angel passed over those that were obedient. And I have a feeling we'll talk a little bit about that this Sunday from church, and also for the Passover service on April 2nd. But it's coming up, and coming up pretty quick before you know it. And so we do want to make sure that you're aware of that. We've had it in the newsletter. We've been talking about it from the pulpit. And so hope you're ready for that. Right after that, just a few days later, is the planned solar eclipse that is coming across the nation, whose shadow will put the second mark of a large X almost in the middle of the country, just kind of north and east of center, but in a little place that, according to what we've seen, has been known as Little Egypt since the 1800s. You know, you can't make this stuff up. You just can't. But it's that time. 7 years ago, we talked about the, newsletter then, we talked about the eclipses and them being, well, in, you know, of course, Nineveh. Nineveh had a time, the story of Jonah in Nineveh. We talked about it 7 years ago a little bit because it was a sign for repentance. And lo and behold, we didn't know it at the time. But now, We've seen even from NASA that they're calling this solar event the Nineveh event, because there's seven towns in either the totality of the shadow that this solar eclipse will cause, or close to it. Seven towns in the United States and one in Canada that will be affected by this solar eclipse that are named Nineveh. We've been mentioning it from the church pulpit, and it was in Volume 3 of the Dragon Slayer newsletter. You should have already gotten that. Sent another half dozen out to some new people today. But we talk about that in that newsletter. I've got it right here in front of me. And not really going to go through it again tonight. Time's running out. It really is. Time is running out. And so it's not that we're forecasting that any great and major thing is going to happen. But, you know, we've got one more, at least one more Thursday night, another almost 2 weeks before this. And our feeling, mine and talking with Jason, and is that just as Jesus said that in Matthew 16:4, he said, an evil and adulterous generation wants a sign. And so a sign will not be given to it except the sign of Jonah. And we've always understood that as that sign of Jonah was just as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish 3 days and three nights, that Jesus too would be in the dark, in the darkness, in the tomb for 3 days. And just as Jonah came out, Jesus would as well. And the people then did not understand it. And it's just unfortunate that I think so many people today don't understand it. I think it is just like those times that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 16 about an evil and adulterous generation. And Remnant, don't we see that all around us? We see an evil. We live among an evil and adulterous generation. And as that word, as we think, the right, this generation today, boy, this group of people today. But you know, as that word can also be translated race, we live among an evil and adulterous race of people. These people today, they fit every description, every mark that Jesus gives, that God gives throughout the Old Testament of who they would be. You know, he says, the more I multiplied you, the more your harlotries multiplied. The more I blessed you, the worse you got. The more I blessed you, you just became like well-fed, lusty horses, each one neighing after his neighbor's wife. We live among that. Jesus summarized it in Matthew 16 when he said, an evil and adulterous generation. And then he goes on and says, they want a sign. See, they want a 10-second soundbite. They want a little flash. Just something quick. Don't take up too much of my time. Just something real quick that I can look at. Oh, there's a sign. Okay, that's neat. Yep, okay. And then they're back to being evil and adulterous. Those are the times that we live in. It's come up, you know, when lawlessness abounds, the word says, the heart of man grows cold. That's a process, and that's an order. If you look around and see the heart of man growing cold, and we do, well, why is it? Well, one of the reasons is we can also look around and see the lawlessness abounds. The churches don't even teach lawlessness, which is sin. Most of the churches of the day don't. Most of the Judeo-Christians you talk to, oh, the important thing is Jesus. But they don't want to go as far as when Jesus said, don't think I came to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And he said, neither one jot or tittle of this law will be done away with or changed. Anyway, so as we are getting a big black X on our nation, no other nations are getting that. As we can read the words of Jesus, this evil and adulterous generation wants a sign, but the only sign you're going to get is a sign of Jonah. Well, Jonah was sent to Nineveh, Nineveh was an evil and adulterous generation, and they repented at the sign of Jonah. Of course, you got to remember, the people of Nineveh were Assyrians, and they worshipped, Asherah just like we do. You know, the Starbucks mermaid with her little legs or tail or whatever spread wide. Oh, that gets worshipped, yeah. Yeah, that gets worshipped. Asherah, just like it was in the days of Nineveh. And in the Nineveh, the Assyrians there, they worshipped Dagon, who was basically a merman, okay? Aquaman. That's who they worshipped. And that's just been brought right back into with the who is it, Marvel or whatever, into this generation, this last couple generations, that how great that is and how much better they are than us, than humans. So the story hasn't changed. Just as Jesus said in Matthew 16. And I just, we've been trying to drive this home with the remnant, hopefully that you're able to get out into your circles what this is about. And it is about the repentance that America needs to do. America needs repentance. Americans need to repent. Now, some of us have, and I know I'm probably preaching to the choir. Many out there have. Doesn't make us perfect, but it brings forgiveness. It brings that hope and that peace. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 10:34, don't think I came to bring peace. See, many of those Judeos, they don't want to read that. They don't want to read that. No, he said, I came to bring a sword and problems and discord and issues between family members even. You don't have to believe me. You can read it, Matthew 10. But for those that have been obedient to the word, have not only believed, but have done their best to be obedient to the word, to be doers of the word. As Ephesians 2 says, he is our peace. You know, the word says that the word of the cross is foolishness to the world. But that's because it's those that are perishing. It's foolish to them. But that cross is the power of God to us. Because we know what it represents. It represents the death and the burial and the resurrection. The living Jesus Christ. You know, that's one of the big things. One of the many big things the Catholic Church has wrong, they still got him on that cross. And he ain't on that cross no more. And he's not in that tomb anymore. Colossians 1:20 talks about us having peace through the blood. Boy, that's, you know, with Passover coming up, that's, I think, an important thing for us to remember, okay, that we do have forgiveness and salvation, but it's through that blood. Just as in at the first Passover, those that had applied the blood, not just believed, but those that had applied the blood lived. Those that obeyed were saved. Those that didn't obey lost their firstborn. And I really think this Nineveh event, this second in 7 years, actually in 6 years, 6 months, 6 weeks and 6 days, write that one down, apart or since the last full solar eclipse, is a sign from God for repentance. Now, I don't know of anybody that's been swallowed by a great fish and burped out on this land, but we are sure doing our best to preach a gospel of repentance, of becoming doers of the word and not hearers only. In Mark 13, verse 37, Jesus says, "And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, watch, watch." And we've all been, well, we all try to be ready, right? We try to be ready. We do. And then the last verse here, then I'm going to move on talking about that bridge. But the last verse here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 and 6, we're told, "But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness." And you know, Remnant, you're not. You're not in darkness. The word says you have nothing else to be written to you. You know. You know. You might not know the day or the hour. I don't. But you know. It says, "You, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that that day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then, let's not sleep as others do, but let's be alert and sober." And again, I think that tells us to be ready. Now, ready for what exactly? Well, you know, who knows? Who knows? I don't know. But this is the busy time of year, biblically. It is. Again, new year with the spring equinox, Passover, April 2nd, solar eclipse, April 8th, Pentecost coming up in May, right? 50 days. And when we look around our nation, as well as the world, because right, no man is an island. You can't just separate yourself from everything, because we are affected by it all. We're affected by the wars and rumors of wars that we hear about, that we see are going on, right? The war in Gaza, an absolute genocide, where you have antichrists that are fighting antichrists. And I think an apt description of that is that the word says those that live by the sword will die by the sword. Now, that doesn't mean that you have a sword with you as much as possible to defend yourself. That's not what it means. But it means those that live by the sword, that do not forgive, that live to kill, well, they too will be killed by that sword. And that's what we've seen by the Israelis since the beginning of time, and by the Palestinians. None of them believe in Jesus. None of them have forgiveness. They're killing each other and the whole Middle East is that way. For what, you know, some great-great-granduncle did 1,200 years ago. Our troops, as they've been there and back over the last 30-plus years, they've told us that. You can't bring an American way of life to them. They don't forgive. They don't educate. They keep their people uneducated. That's how they control them, one of the ways. And they have no forgiveness. They have no forgiveness. So you got war, genocide in Gaza. You got war in the Ukraine. No, we don't know exactly what's happening, but we see that you've got Russia moving in on white people. That can't be good. If you've read the book Execution by Hunger, you see that's what the Marxist communists did back in the 30s. Where they starved out or killed, almost 7 million of the Ukrainian farmers? Not all of them, but a lot. I encourage you to get that book, Execution by Hunger. It is hard for us, for our people, to fathom the wickedness. But I can tell you, I've read that book a few times, and I am seeing things in our federal government, in what OSHA does and what the EPA does and what different government senators and representatives do that remind me of what the communists did in what is outlined in that book, Execution by Hunger. Seeing it and it reminds me, and it's sobering. It is. Haiti, a little closer to home, still a mess, still chaos, unrest, anarchy. And I'm hearing that Taiwan is next. You know, we just saw this Moscow terrorist attack. Been trying to talk to a couple people that are a little more in politics and a little more in world events that I know, and trying to kind of get their feel on this. And one man was telling me today that, you know, Moscow has the Middle East has no love lost for Russia, and he sees it as perfectly valid. Now, none of us know exactly. We know what's reported, and we have to draw our own conclusions. But over 100 dead, over 100 wounded. That's, again, something that should make us sit up and say, hmm. Because if the one of the enemies of Christianity has planned it over there, maybe they could plan it for somewhere else as well. And again, I've been hearing on different channels, Taiwan is next. With everything going on with us and the mess that we are in, and wars and rumors of wars in Moscow and Gaza and the Ukraine and Haiti, that, well, you know, China's been talking about Taiwan for a while. And I think that, at least what I'm hearing, that that may be something that's on the horizon. Well, what does that matter to us? Well, next time you look at electronics or watches or just almost anything, look and see how much is made in Taiwan. Quite a bit. Quite a bit, whether you like it or not. Whether you try to buy everything that you can made in America, you can't do it. You just can't. It's not possible. We can try, but that's not the time that we live in. And how about a little closer to home even still? Our borders wide open and have been for 3 years. Wide open. Oh, no, an invasion's not coming, say people on the border. It's already came. It's here. We have been invaded. You have cities like Denver that, oh, we're just running out of money. We got to kick the people out. We don't have any more money anymore. You've got other cities like New York. What does see New York doing? Oh, New York says we're going to save money by giving cash cards to illegals for food and fuel and things like that. Now, we're going to make them sign an affidavit that they don't abuse the system and they only use it for food for them and their families. $53 million to start. That was in yesterday's headlines. To illegals. Not to veterans. Not to children of U.S.-born citizens. No, you go to work. Pay taxes. But to illegals, to invaders. You know, the politically correct term they've thrown out, tried to get it to stick, was newcomers. Oh, we're all immigrants. I don't know if you ever see any posts or get into any discussions with some of these left-wing, insane libtards Well, we're all immigrants. It's only the American Indian that was, you know, originally here. And, well, it never goes anywhere. I've never had it go anywhere positive. So again, it's interesting times. Now, it is certainly a time for us to be a believer in the Word, fellow Christian, but a doer as well, a faither, one that sees this Word and reads it and applies these encouraging scriptures. You know, when Jesus, again in Matthew 12, he was speaking to these so-called leaders of the day, the religious leaders of the day, and he said, the men of Nineveh is going to stand at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For the men of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. And that applies here to this nation. But see, those of us that recognize that there's one greater than Jonah here, well, guess what? We have repented, so we won't perish. And there's a confidence in that. I want you to turn to Hebrews. Do you have your Bibles? Let's go to Hebrews. Haven't got to the scripture yet, at least not asking you to turn to it. Hebrews 4. Let's take a look. Hebrews 4. I think I've got time for this. Let me look here. Yeah, I still got a little time left. Hebrews 4. Way up in verse 7, it says, he again fixes a certain day today, saying, through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And elsewhere the word says, you know, today, now is the time, today is the day. It is. So if you haven't, I would strongly suggest that you do. And so it talks about rest. Jesus talking about those that will not enter his rest and those that will. And right here, verse 11 says, therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same examples of disobedience. Verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And this verse 16, and this is what I wanted to get to, says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence. Okay? Remnant, I want you to get that. That's Hebrews 4:16. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I think that being in a time of need is so far away from so many people. Oh, there's some of us that have been in great times of need, whether it's job changes or whether it's health issues, whatever it may be. There's some of us that have been through great times of need, houses burning down. And like it says here, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, confident that his word is true, confident that we understand his word, and then confident that no matter what these times bring, that he will deliver us and not forsake us. It's one of the reasons it's exciting times. It's exciting times. It's exciting times, like like those that were being led out of Egypt, and as it says, there were none feeble in Psalms. And when God let them out, there were none feeble. I remember Pastor, it never occurred to me till Pastor taught on that, that there were none sick. There were none, they were healed. Pastor Peters taught that it was because of that, the obedience and that Passover meal, that God used that to heal his people so they could receive back their plunder and walk out of Egypt. Now, did that make them perfect? No. No, they murmured and griped in the wilderness, and that older generation, they died in the wilderness after 40 years of wanderings. But they prospered in the wilderness. They grew. They had families. They married and had families and raised up children and had victory over their enemies as long as they obeyed God. And that's how it is today. When we obey God, we have that very thing. We have that confidence. We have that hope. We have victory over the wars and rumors of wars. We have victory over our enemies. And we can prosper. And we can do better than those that wandered in the wilderness by not complaining. By, as the word says, do everything without murmuring and grumbling. Work as if we work for the Lord, right? We can do better than those that died in the wilderness because of their unbelief. That's sure how I see getting through this, whatever it is that's coming. They talk about the great solar flares that are coming up just this week before the eclipse. I don't know if you've seen that. I saw a couple different reports on that, on these great and massive solar flares like no one's ever seen before. And they just don't know what impact that they will have on the world here. If there will be problems with with telecommunications or just what. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. So just be ready. Be ready. Have that confidence. Let us draw near, we read in Hebrews, with confidence to the throne of grace. Amen. Well, the current event I wanted to get to, this next one, was, of course, the Dali, the big cargo ship, crashing into the Francis Scott Key Bridge outside of Baltimore. And that was Tuesday, or I guess it was Monday night, Tuesday morning when that happened. I think the latest was six. They still, I don't know if they've recovered them or not, but I think they said six of the construction workers lost their life. And they're saying by a miracle there was no or very little, if any, civilian traffic on the bridge at the time. And I've seen the video, I think most people have, and how the big cargo ship was loaded up and leaving. It was heading out and lost power. Lights go off, lights come back on. That happened twice. And then it hit a load-bearing pylon on the bridge and knocked it, just smashed it off. And half a mile of bridge falls in the river. And I have to tell you, folks, when I saw the video, I've watched it a few times. It reminds me of 9/11. It reminds me of the towers falling. For whatever reason, they fell. But it sure reminded me of that. And you know that the truth of that wasn't known for quite a while. But I remember I was in Pastor Peter's office, had stopped by on coming into work that morning, and he called me in there, and we watched the second tower fall. And I remember him saying, and he'd said it before, that nothing will be the same anymore, that nothing will. And so with this coming on the heels, and I don't know, it It looked like an accident, I'll tell you that, at least just watching the video. But, you know, here's a ship that's just been loaded. It's just heading out. There's a few questions come to mind. Was why would the power go out like that? We haven't seen anything like that happen before. Why weren't they using tugs? That Baltimore port is the 10th largest, either in the world or in the nation. I saw the report. I didn't print it out today. But they go through tons of stuff. Lots of stuff comes in there. Says they've cut off Baltimore. One result is the main north-south hazardous corridor, I-95, that's been cut. And so I heard 35,000 vehicles a day across that bridge. Now they have to go somewhere else. And a main major thoroughfare for hazardous materials and trucks and the way that things move in this country. Right up there in the northeast. Oops. Not today. Not anymore, anyway. So there's certainly some out there that are saying that that it was a strategic attack. Maybe not direct, but an attack is an attack. Just because we haven't seen ISIS-K taking credit for it, or China coming up and saying, yes, we did it, and you better straighten up and fly right and do what we say, or we'll do it again. Just because we haven't seen that yet, or at least if those in the intelligence services have, they haven't announced it out, doesn't mean that it couldn't be a, quote, absolutely brilliant strategic attack. You have to look at the results, right? What comes of it? What has happened as a result? And if you haven't seen the video, I'd encourage you to look it up. It's wow. But the economic, the financial impact that this has won't be felt, won't be noticed for a while. The impact on, getting things into the port and unloaded, because so much is imported today. Very few things going back out. But it's going to cause some supply chain issues. And one interesting thing that I saw, I thought it was interesting, let me just read this. Images from the shocking bridge collapse in Baltimore have drawn comparisons online to a recent film produced by Barack and Michelle Obama about a cargo ship under cyber attack. The White House says the incident involving the cargo ship that plowed into Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge was not believed to have had nefarious intent and showed no signs of terrorism or cyber attacks. But there's similarities between images of that collapse and a scene from the movie Leave the World Behind, the first fictional film Barack and Michelle Obama produced for Netflix. There's a scene in the film where an oil tanker named the White Lion crashes onto the beachfront among a crowd of horrified tourists. In 2023, the Obamas produced a movie called Leave the World Behind, where a cyber attack causes a massive container ship to lose power and crash. Months later, a container ship loses power and crashes into the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, causing a deadly collapse. You can't make this stuff up, folks. You just can't. You just can't. Predictive programming. If you've been around for a while, you've heard our pastor's teachings on that, that that's one of the rules of warfare that the enemy has to do. They have to follow. They have to tell you either what they've done, what they want to do, what they plan on doing. That's one of the rules of warfare. How many times have we seen this? I've seen the clip. I haven't seen that movie, Leave the World Behind. I've seen the clip where the ship goes aground. And we've seen that in, they've had that in different movies where a ship loses control. It was in one of the Jurassic Parks, right? The dinosaur eats the crew, and so the crew's locked in full speed, and it crashes into the dock. It's been in several movies. It's been replayed time and time again. It's just pretty rare when it happens in real life. But it is pretty interesting that not just a crew being eaten by dinosaurs, but a movie produced by the Obamas where a cargo ship undergoes a cyber attack and loses power and crashes. And then we have the video where the lights go out on the ship, and that's what they said, it lost power. Then they came back on, then they went out again. And I think they might have come back on one more time. Oh, but by then it was too late. And then it crashes into the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Now, if you believe in symbolism, there's a little symbolism there. O Lord, contend with those that contend with us. O Lord Jesus, do I not hate those that hate you, O Lord? And Lord, these enemies of yours and enemies of ours, they seek to destroy us, and they seek to destroy all worship and belief of you. Lord, let them fall in the pits that they dig. Let the plans that they have, Lord, the testing this cell phone outage last month, and Lord, that they tell what they're going to do in their movies and their books, or at least what they want to do. But Lord, let them fall in the pit that they dig. Lord, let there be enough that have repented, enough that are washed by the blood that you shed for us. Let there be enough here in this land, Lord, to turn their evil plans. To have you, Lord, to bring repentance on the land. And Lord, for you to contend with those that contend with us. Save us, Lord, from the hands of those that hate us, that we may praise you, that we may glorify you. That, Lord, we know the only way to make America great again is to make America godly again, to repent and return to you, to be like the prodigal son that you told in the parable, Lord, to come to our senses. Because so many in this land today, Lord, they're out of their mind. They have gone crazy, and they are out of their mind. But, Lord, our desire is a nationwide repentance and returning to you, to your will, to your way, to your perfect word, to the true worship of Jesus Christ, the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Remnant again. We encourage it. Lots going on. You know, who knows with this? We'll see. I think the enemy plans things out. And, sometimes I think their plans are foiled. I think sometimes that they do fall in the pit that they dig. Sometimes they plan it to go one way, and it ends up going a different way. Don't know if you heard the quote today where, or I guess it was yesterday or maybe even Wednesday, where President Obama said he remembered that bridge. President Obama, President O'Biden, yeah, one and the same. But O'Biden remembers that bridge, said he traveled it many times by car and train. Nobody told him there weren't any train tracks on that bridge. Never were. But that's just how it goes. Well, Remnant, I'm out of time. I'm out of voice tonight. Couple dates. It's a busy time of the year. We are in the spring, the new solar year. Passover coming up April 2nd. Solar eclipse April 8th. Pentecost coming up in May. We're in perilous times, wars and rumors of wars. But we're not to fear. We're not. Remember Ephesians 2:14. He, Jesus Christ, our God, is our peace. And we can draw near with confidence to his throne because of that, when we are obedient to the word. Well, Remnant, we invite you back Saturday morning for coffee with the Wranglers. Hope you can join us then. 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. on the West Coast, right here at scripturesforamerica.org. Going to go out with a little, been doing some Carl Klang music, so we'll go out with some of that. We are working on Volume 4 of the Dragon Slayer newsletter and hope to get start on that printing. It might be tomorrow. Get working on it pretty close to getting it printed. So we ask your prayers for that. That's Volume 4. Hope you've gotten Volume 3. We kind of give a little rundown on this eclipse, our take on it, and I think it's something that you can share. God bless. We'll talk to you Saturday morning.
You think your plans were secret when you left your office last night and you closed the door behind you? Were you walking in your sleep or were you just too tired to notice all the watchful eyes upon you? There's the man who does the maintenance and the maid who cleans the carpets in the hall. And the guard down in the lobby through a hidden TV camera saw it all. Habits and your random acts and patterns, and I've learned you're not a nice guy. And your fully faced deception is your secret silent weapon and your modus operandi. This little birdie told me who was talking to a fly upon the wall. So when you think nobody's looking, I'm the eye that passes by you. When you think nobody's listening, I'm the listener. I'm the resistor. Now I could be your next door neighbor who dropped by to ask a favor, who pretends to be your brother. A secret Sunday soldier from an underground militia. I might even be your butler or your chauffeur who just opened your car door. I'm the butcher, I'm the baker, I'm your future troublemaker. I'm the guy that used to date your little sister. I'm the resistor. Spin your little stories till nobody will believe you anymore. And you can plot your deadly schemes and say it isn't what it means, but let me tell you what it means.